welcome to another sparkling edition of The Thought Police with me, Mike Graham, and him, Kevin O'Sullivan. Good to see you, Kev.
You too, Mike.
It's supposed to be spring, but it's a bit fucking cold, to be honest, for my taste. Every time I come out
bit
in the morning,
cold.
I keep thinking, why is it so bloody cold?
Yeah, fucking hell. I was staying last night, right, my glamorous life, big TV star.
Yes.
There I was, waiting at the bus stop at Hampstead for the 268.
Did you still have your wallet?
Yeah. No, I left it on the bus, obviously, that's the system.
Absolutely.
No, but I was standing there, and the only reason I'd done the talk, so it was like quite late, but I was 10 or something. And the only reason I wasn't wearing a scarf, because I knew it was cold, and I thought, I'm not wearing a fucking scarf. Mm. It's nearly fucking May.
It really is.
So I didn't wear a scarf, and I was standing at the bus stop thinking, I wish I wore a fucking scarf. It was fucking freezing.
Mind you, if you had worn a scarf, you might have left it on the bus.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there is that.
Also, the sun would have broken.
I'm also now, I mean, I used to quite like wearing scarves in the winter, but I'm kind of, it's a bit like umbrellas now with me. I'm a bit wary of taking a scarf out and going out because I'll probably fucking lose it.
Yeah.
I'll leave it somewhere.
It's like sunglasses.
Yeah. So I used to have a rule, never have an expensive lighter or expensive sunglasses or anything else that you can fucking lose at the beach or something.
Well, it's a good idea. It's good thinking.
Now, what I forgot to mention is this is brought to you by Suitable Choices, today's podcast. We'll tell you more about that in a minute. But I'll tell you what, before we go on, what we should mention is that ridiculous video, I don't know if you saw it today, of the Rishi Sunak motorcade. Have you seen that? With the fucking,
as you said, Monty Python,
the Keystone Cops. Yeah, I mean, my favourite bit is the guy at the end who's like running and then just stops running because he's too fat to go further.
The Met Police's crack squad of joggers.
Joggers and cyclists.
And it was William Clouston, wasn't it, pointing out to you this morning that one of them got fucking knackered.
Yeah, that's it at the back. The guy at the back, he's obviously just stopped to go get another sandwich.
Yeah.
You know. But what is this all about? You know, I was saying that I've been around the back of Downing Street a couple of times. You know, when you drive around the back of Downing Street and you see the steps going up to the Treasury and all that, and there's a sort of carpool there.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, I must have counted about 25 Range Rovers. These are the fuckers that are telling us, oh, we must go green, you know, it's best not to have a diesel car. They've got 25 fucking probably very highly tuned Range Rovers, Range Rover Sports, which probably cost about 120 grand a piece, you know. Yeah. Millions of pounds worth of cars sitting there.
See, I don't think Rishi Sunak's the worst arsehole who ever drew breath.
He's not.
There are sides of him that I rather like.
Mm.
But when he gets criticism for being a sort of multi-billionaire who doesn't understand ordinary people and how ordinary people live... there's something in that, and I think because he's on such a pedestal, he lives in such an ivory tower, he doesn't notice that if you sit in a fucking convoy of limousines with fucking fat, high-vis jacketed coppers jogging beside you, you're going to look like a right cunt. That's his problem.
He doesn't notice
that. I mean, if it was you or me, I'm serious about it.
But you'd be
if it was
car.
You or me, we'd go, hang on a second, this looks shit.
Yes.
But he doesn't spot that.
Do you not think he would have said to somebody, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You've never done it before.
Well, because
why are we doing it now?
Because he's not like us. He's sort of under high living is all he's ever known.
Yeah, yeah.
So for him, it doesn't seem that abnormal that you've got a squad of joggers.
I always remember going back years and years, you'll probably remember this, you were probably there, it was at the Cannes Film Festival. And it was around about the time that Al Gore did that movie.
The planet's doomed in three minutes, the unreal truth or something like that. Yeah, that's right.
Leonardo DiCaprio turned up, right?
Yeah, in his private jet.
Well, this is the thing. He did a press conference and somebody said to him, don't you think it's a bit hypocritical for you to come here to talk about the planet
in
the environment since you've come here on a plane? Yeah. And he actually said his answer was, but I flew commercial. Like as if he didn't hire a private jet, so therefore that was okay.
Yeah. And by the way, he usually does hire a private jet.
Right.
You know, so he's hypocritical central, and these are the guys that offset their private jet flights by buying a few trees.
Yes. Well, that's what Chris Martin did that.
Yeah. And then the trees were on fire.
Creating a fair bit of carbon, it has to be said.
Hot play.
Yeah. Well, because he fucking planted them in Sri Lanka, of all places, because he thought that's where they were most required.
They have entire fucking companies. When you go...
Carbon offset.
When you go to places like the Film Festival, Cannes Film Festival, and a lot of these flashy festivals that I used to go to in my professional life.
Yeah.
There are all these stands and stuff that are these companies offering rich bastards trees to buy.
Oh, it's a great racket.
Yeah.
Well, Elton, do you remember Elton John?
Bollocks.
Didn't Elton John offer to offset one of Harry and Meghan's flights, because he gave them his jet. He said, don't worry, I'll pay 30,000. It's bollocks.
Yeah, fuck your offset.
It's literally like...
Don't do it.
Yeah.
It's don't like, get on a private jet, because if you get on a private jet, you're fucking the planet up. Right. Don't tell me about fucking trees in Scandinavia, you cunts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really believe that they're fucking the planet up, but if they're going to say it to us, then surely they have to fucking adhere to their own principles.
No, that's my point. That's my point. Anyway, Diane Abbott, she's good, isn't she?
She's great. always reliable for a good old fucking dust-up.
By the way, before we talk about our obvious anti-Semitism, Jeremy Corbyn, these people are anti-Semites.
They are.
They're Jew haters. It's as simple as that.
It is that simple.
They're racists. Yeah. But tell us about that amazing fucking story I heard on your show this morning, the guy from the Jewish Chronicle.
Yes.
Remembering that Diane Abbott's excuse for this disgusting, racist, anti-Semitic letter was it was just a draft and she didn't mean to send it. Load of bollocks.
Yeah, as you might not be too surprised to hear, Diane Abbott's not too good with technology, right? So when she sent the original email in to The Observer, she didn't put her own email address somehow on it. Or I think you have to put maybe your real address to prove who you are.
Yeah.
And so it was rejected, and so she then had to resend it. And this was, by the way, about a week before it was published.
Yeah.
She sent a second version of it with her address on it, which was then accepted, which then sat in the editor's box for a good week before it was actually published. So the idea that she suddenly sent the wrong version and then sent a better version later is absolute rubbish. She sent one version and then she sent the same version again, having had plenty of time to work out what it was saying, and then didn't ask for the editor to change it, didn't ask for a new version to be considered, none of that. And it was for a whole week this process was going on, which proves that she's not only a fucking racist, but she's a liar.
A liar, absolute liar. I mean, you know, in some ways, I feel sorry for Diana, but she's been the target of attacks her entire career. And I do have sympathy for her, but you've got to remember the reason she's been a target for lots of attacks throughout her career. Some of them just inexcusable racism.
Racists.
Most of the attacks on Diana Abbott are because for her entire career, her entire life indeed, she's been the most astonishing fuckwit.
Mm.
She's a fuckwit. She's a fucking idiot. She's a Labour firebrand who says, oh, but, you know, state schools. Oh, but I'm sending my kid to a private school.
Why wouldn't I?
By the way, how did that work out with her son that she sent to a private school? Not so well, I don't think. Serves her fucking right.
And also, of course, she is the ex-girlfriend of one Jeremy Corbyn.
He
took her on a motorbike to East Germany. Imagine being on that fucking trip.
Jeremy Corbyn, Diane Abbott and a fair few other old dinosaurs in the Labour Party are straight out, flat out, anti-Semitic racists. They always have been.
And this will be always a problem for the Labour Party, because no matter how hard Keir Starmer tries to make out that he hates anti-Semitism and he's ridding the party of it, right? He's still got people like Diane Abbott in the party. He's still got Jeremy Corbyn in the party because he can't throw him out. He can tell him he can't stand as a Labour candidate and he can't be in the parliamentary party, but he can't kick him out of Labour. And as I said to that guy John McTiernan the other day,
that was a good interview.
He couldn't tell me.
That was outrageous.
I asked him five times.
Was it anti-Semitic?
Do you think this is anti-Semitic? And not only would he, I mean, I'd have had more respect for him if
he
said no.
He's a good guy. I always thought.
No, I think he's taken a bit of a sort of Kool-Aid test lately, because he's suddenly become a Keir Starmer fan, which he never used to be, right? Because so they've obviously given out the word from on high, the likes of Mandelson and others, who have said, you know, Starmer's now the new guy, so you better back him. But basically...
He didn't get the memo, though, did he? Because Starmer, to his credit, came out and said that was anti-Semitic.
Right. Well, he says...
But Tiernan wouldn't say
He says he's a friend of Diane Abbott's, and this is the problem. Yeah, well, you know, why can't he say... Even if he believes it's not anti-Semitic, say that. And then we can argue about it. But to say... To completely avoid the question, that's bullshit.
Absolutely.
And this is the problem for Labour, that they're fucking honeycombed with people who just don't like Jews.
Yeah, and
which is shameful, isn't it?
They're racist about Jews. Yeah. And Jeremy Corbyn, still a member of the fucking Labour Party, Diane Abbott, still a member of the Labour Party.
Yeah.
As your guest from the Jewish Chronicle quite rightly said, I said it all weekend.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have too.
Yeah.
On
what's
talk,
the difference?
Why don't you just, I just said this is not good enough. I mean, just suspending the vote pending an suspending the whip pending an investigation. Bollocks! What are you investigating? There's the letter.
Yeah.
Expel her from the party.
Yeah.
Or you accept anti-Semites into Labour.
Yeah. Exactly right. There is no other choice, and it is quite a simple one. But they can't do it, and this will always be a problem for Starmer, in the same way that the women issue is a problem for him, in the same way that his record is a problem. It's a great piece, I don't know if you read it in the Sunday Times at the weekend, about, you know, the truth about Keir Starmer's time at the DPP.
We know about it.
I mean, fucking hell.
We know about it.
Some of the things I'd forgotten about that he was in charge
shit.
Of. He was absolutely useless.
He was the worst director of public prosecutions we've ever had, and that's saying something.
Yeah.
And of course, from our point of view, he tried to prosecute 30 Sun journalists for doing their
failed
job.
Failed as well in each case.
Sun journalists who were getting stories.
Yeah.
They were talking to public officials and getting stories of corruption, inefficiency, the kind of stories that newspapers should print. He tried to send them all to prison.
Yeah.
Not a single one. They all went to court at massive expense, and not a single one of them was convicted.
No.
They were all acquitted, thanks to country.
Some of them weren't even charged.
I mean, for Christ's
sake. Some of them were on bail for like 2 years, weren't they?
I mean, yeah.
They were
our friends.
Yeah.
They had a nightmare. They were all good.
Yeah, they couldn't work.
Yeah, but the journalists doing their job. Mm. One morning at 6 a.m, they're lying in bed with their wives, with their kids in other rooms.
Yeah.
10 minutes later, fucking cops,
jackbooted
cops, are going through their kids' knicker drawers, seeing if they can find evidence.
Absolutely,
I mean, unfucking believable. Yeah. That was Keir Starmer for you.
Yeah.
So don't let him tell you that he was a great DPP. He was absolute shit.
And also all this bollocks about how it wasn't his fault about Jimmy Savile. Well, the person who worked for him was in charge of investigating Jimmy Savile, and he was the one that said, this is not a case we can win, so we might as well not bother.
But
now, the fucking point about being the chief and the DPP is that sometimes you say to people, well, actually, no, I think you need to look at this again, find a way of fucking prosecuting him, find a way of getting to the truth, and find a way of getting a fucking conviction.
Hey, Keir.
You know, Keir, don't just accept it and go, oh, that's all right, then.
Yeah, Keir, mate, you were the director of public prosecutions. The buck stopped with you. You were given the file on Jimmy Savile, and you decided not to prosecute. So fuck you sideways.
Right. Well, that's the other thing as well, right? There were plenty of things that he did then prosecute, and there are plenty of people who have got nothing to do with politics who say that he did a shit job, like the family of that news agent guy, do you remember, who was beaten up by the police.
Yeah.
They got no fucking respite from Starmer at all. But this is the trouble for Starmer, because at the end of the day, Sunak is cleverer than he is. He's probably more polished, I would say, than he is. And he's probably a better politician. Starmer isn't any good at anything.
No, he's not.
Everything he said he believed in, he now doesn't believe in.
Yeah.
Right? So he's now absolutely not. I have to go the other way.
Yeah. He's. I mean, you can trace almost anything that Keir Starmer's ever said, and you'll find it at a subsequent point when it suited his purposes, he'll change his mind.
Yeah.
Rod Little wrote about this at the weekend.
He did.
In his column in the Sunday.
He said
Times.
He'd been spending quite a lot of time looking for something that Starmer believed in once, but now still believes in.
Yeah,
and he couldn't find anything.
He's a straw in the wind. He changes his mind. Yeah. Don't forget, this was the man who sat four square next to Jeremy Corbyn.
Well, that's the other reason,
said,
right?
I want Jeremy Corbyn to be Prime Minister.
And he
Jeremy Corbyn's an anti-Semite.
And in
Thanks
turn,
very much, Keir.
And in turn, he wanted Diane Abbott to be Home Secretary, because he don't forget, he was also backing that.
Yeah.
But here's the other problem, is that if I was relying on somebody to run the country, you wouldn't want somebody who's such a fucking turncoat, who 1 minute declares his fucking undying friendship with Jeremy Corbyn and then decides to chuck him under the bus.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't suit him anymore.
But my point about Corbyn, and we don't know what's going to happen to Abbott yet, but she'll end up the same as Corbyn. She'll end up like Corbyn. I mean, Corbyn is still a member of the Labour Party. If fucking Starmer really wants to say, I won't have anti-Semites in this party, he needs to throw both of them out.
But the Kick excuse... No, but his excuse is he hasn't got the power to do that.
Well,
because
get the process in motion.
Because the Labour Party and apparently their sort of steering committee, whatever the fuck they call it, is the place where they have to get that done at a conference. They have to do it, and I bet you it wouldn't happen because there's still plenty of anti-Semites running the party.
He should send the message that he's trying to do it, but he's not sending the message that he's trying to do it because he wants to keep all those old dinosaur lefties on side.
Well, because he still needs their votes.
He wants the anti-Semites to support him.
Yeah, because he needs their votes. Because he's duplicitous.
He's a fucking...
Oh, I think so.
He's a hypocrite.
Well, I'm beginning to think more and more, actually, that the closer it gets to the election, the less likely he is to win it.
Yeah, well, it's not going to... I hope he gets the 0.1% of females with penises.
Women really don't like him now.
Well, that's women not are surprising. Going,
well, what, sorry, what you don't know what a woman is. Did you see that ridiculous story today that they want boys to be taught how to respect women? And I was like, well, they'll have to fucking figure out what one is first before they can start doing any of that shit.
By the way, talking of the trans issues, did you see, you know, Johnny and Morn?
Oh, yeah. So oh, my God.
So he's written a book.
He's making himself a shoe-in so for funny. Funk of the Week.
He's written a book. Yeah. This is the cunt in the kimono.
He's very odd, isn't he?
He killed a fox. For which I
and then
never,
boasted about I don't it. Know, and then boasted about
if,
it.
If you save the world from cancer, mate, I'm never forgiving you for what you did to that fox, fucking cunt. Anyway,
I rather like foxes.
Yeah, well, I certainly don't want some.
They sit on the cars in the car park.
This is how stupid he is. Right. How fucking clothy idiot he is. He thought when he put that on Twitter,
I think he must have been still pissed.
Anyway, he's written a fucking book.
Right.
You know, about his campaign to save the world, left-wing prick.
Right.
And the Times have done a review in which they said it's a book at times in which you struggle to understand what the hell he's saying. it's a literary crime, and he must be encouraged never to repeat the offence. Anyway, J.K. Rowling.
Well, he gets in a row with her, doesn't he?
J.K. Rowling came in and said, "He said, well, that's because the Times doesn't like me because I'm left wing." And she said something like, "Well, maybe they just don't like your book."
Yeah. Right. But then he got involved in some weird sort of internecine conversation with her because he then said. As you know, I have written to... And she's like, well, how would I know what you're doing?
Exactly,
you
right. Yeah,
she totally destroyed him. Because then he was going, well, as you know, I also sent you a private message. And then he showed the private message and her response to it. Who does he fucking think he is, sending private messages to people like that?
I know.
He's a very odd man.
Yeah, full of his own self-importance.
Even before the Fox incident, he and I had a sort of set-to on Twitter. He started following me and then started just... You know, like these sort of... gadflies that sort of bug you and kind of hang around, and he kept sort of occasionally responding to my tweets and stuff, and we got into a few rows, and eventually he started accusing me of libel, and I said exactly where have I libeled you? And he couldn't find. I said, you know, for a lawyer you're pretty fucking stupid, and you don't even know the fucking law, by the way, either. This is the same guy who came out relatively recently, didn't he, to say that he wouldn't defend anybody working for an oil and gas company as a lawyer. Well, thank God for that, because he's a shit lawyer. He never wins anything. He loses every fucking case he's ever been involved in.
That's what J.K. Rowling concluded their fractious conversation with by saying, well, why don't you just go off and lose another case?
He loses all his cases, but he's onto a good thing, you see. And this is where he said at one point I was libeling him, because I said that, you know, the Good Law Project raises money by crowdfunding everything.
Yeah.
And it's a very nice little earner, it has to be said. Of course, he would say, yes, but it's only going to legal costs. Yeah, but legal costs include hiring lawyers. Right, and so, you know, it's a nice little business he's got going there. I'm not suggesting for a moment, in case you're listening, Julian, that you're profiting from other people's money. But there's not much point in being a lawyer if you don't make any fucking money. Yeah. And he just chases. I mean, he must have gone after the government about 10 times and missed the fucking target every single time.
Do you know what's interesting about what you're saying about women chasing you for libel? That's why they have a kind of lawyer called a libel lawyer.
Yes,
libel lawyers understand libel.
Yes,
and journalists understand libel. Because we get taught it. Most lawyers don't understand
libel. They really don't.
Libel,
so. And most people don't understand libel either, which is interesting.
No, they really
Speaking of libeling football teams, how about Spurs?
20 minutes, 5-0 down. It's the worst, I think it's the second worst performance by a first division club, as in the top flight, ever in the history of the Football League. That only one other club has been worse than 5-0 down in 20 fucking minutes. But they got one back.
Well,
unfortunately,
I got a mate of mine who's a big Arsenal fan, who sent me the text that said... when are Spurs kicking off? And the answer is every 10 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, fucking, you know, Harry Kane, great player, great striker, and I saw him walking off after the game, and I thought, mate, you got to get out of that club.
Yeah, but he's never going to leave, is he?
Harry Kane does not deserve to be getting beaten 6-1 by anybody.
No.
I think he'll go now. He'll fucking go.
Surely to Christ. Yeah, he'll but go. I mean, every year it's the same for Spurs, isn't it? It's the same disappointment. It's the same kind of, oh, well, we thought we were going to do well this year, and we fucking didn't get anywhere again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, it's almost like they've never actually even got back to how good they were when Gareth Bale was playing for them.
Yeah.
That was their kind of golden period.
Well, I was talking to Spurs fans the other day, old JJ Anasiobi, I said, show me you lot, you never buy any good players.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, but we bought a good new stadium. I said, well, that fucking sums it up. It's a great stadium.
Yeah, I've not been there.
White Hart Lane's
amazing. But I said to him, because he was going away on holiday best in the league. Other day, and I said, oh, well, things could be worse. I said, you could be a Spurs fan.
About one more football story. Yeah. Fucking Man United. Fucking got run ragged by Brighton in the cup final at the weekend. Yeah. Typically, they get it to extra time, 0-0, they win.
They win it on
so
penalties.
Man United, so yeah. Fucking.
But then they got Manchester City in the final, didn't they?
Yes.
So that's about lose to that. Be
and then, of course, what is it? Well, by the time this comes out, we'll find out basically who wins the league, because we've got Arsenal, Man United.
Oh, yeah. Arsenal, Man City is tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really care, to be honest, that much. But, I mean, I presume as a Fulham fan, you'd rather see Arsenal not winning the league.
Do you know what? It'd be quite nice to get something different.
I'm a Londoner, so I'm supposed to hate all the other London clubs. But in my heart, I never really have. So, probably... I want Arsenal to win, but in a way I want Man City to win because they're such a fucking good team.
They are. But then they keep fucking winning it though, don't they? That's the problem.
Well, you know, if you've got a great team and they start winning everything, that's a sight to see. So, you know, I'm torn, but I suspect Man City will do it. They'll do it.
There's a sort of relentlessness about it.
There is, I totally agree.
Yeah.
By the way, let's talk about something slightly more serious.
Go on.
Fucking migrant crisis, our favourite topic. But for God's sake. So, Swirl Abramo, pick up my Sunday Telegraph a couple of days ago. I was quite thrilled to see that she said, yeah, well, you know, we're not leaving the European Convention on Human Rights. She goes, well, why the fuck not?
Right.
But we're not. But... this is what we're going. It's quite fun. This is what we're going to do. If the European Court of Human Rights says we can't deport anyone, we're going to tell them to fuck off and do it anyway.
Right.
So we're going to ignore them. So I like.
To be fair, that's what everybody else does.
Yeah, you know, every
other fucking country that's in the European Convention on Human Rights doesn't slavishly follow every single fucking thing it says.
Yeah. You know? So that's encouraging. And then further down in this story, you read that she's bowed to pressure from the left wing of the Tory party. And my asylum seekers, when they get here, and by the way, 497 more came on Saturday.
Excellent.
Another 500. They're coming, hundreds of fucking day are coming across while all this, thousands a week while all this is going on. She also announces in this tough talking statement that asylum seekers will get legal aid to fight to avoid deportation. This is fucking wrong.
They should be told, right?
Why are we giving them legal aid?
You get one chance to fucking apply, and if you fail, that's it, you're gone.
And you don't get legal aid.
You don't get legal aid. You don't get a fucking appeals process. What about charming ex-ISIS member, whatever his fucking name is, I can't remember if he's got a name, but he has to remain anonymous. The one who came in age 42.
Pretending he
was seven. Said he was seven or 17, one or two. Despite the fact that he had fading tattoos.
You say you're seven. How come you're bald?
A receding. He had a receding hairline. Right. He had wrinkles.
Tattoos.
Right. He had sort of fading tattoos, which he'd obviously had for a long time.
He got when he was in the army.
Fucking bright spark. Some bright spark in Border Force goes, yeah, you were right.
Yeah,
we'll put you into school over there. I mean, for fuck's sake.
I know. But then in Wales, of course, you know, the People's Republic of Wales, it gets even worse. So of course, asylum seekers in Wales will get legal aid, but they'll also £1,600 a month.
Aren't they giving some kind of universal basic income?
Yeah, £1,600 a month, and their legal aid comes on top of that. So we'll be giving these people thousands of pounds a month. Or in Wales.
Right.
I mean... This is ridiculous.
I know. But because, again, the narrative from these fuckwits is, oh, but they're all in terrible, terrible need of help. No, they're fucking not. They're in terrible fucking need of being deported.
Yeah.
That's what they're in terrible need of.
Think about it. Think about it. We have a government that likes to stand up, Rishi and Suella especially, to say, right, this is it. We're stopping the boats. And so she said, yeah, well, we're going to overrule the ECHR. We're going to fly them to Rwanda, whatever the hell happens.
Yeah.
Unless they go, well, I'm claiming asylum and you're going to pay my legal aid. Yeah. At which point Suella will go, oh, yeah, all right then. Yeah. It's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, but it's the same as the bullshit reason that they believe everything that these people tell them. Like the 17-year-old fucking bloke who's 42, who said he's 17. Like the bloke who says, oh, I can't go back to Albania because I'm worried that my wife's family will murder me. And then he goes, well, why is that? And he said, well, because I murdered her. Yeah. So he's now running a car wash in fucking Leicester.
Yeah, but...
You know, all the other people who say, oh, if I go back to my country, I'm going to be prosecuted and then persecuted and killed because they don't like gay people.
It's
ridiculous.
It's because their lying horseshit is woven into the system. Mm. They turn up with no documents, say, I'm fleeing war and torture. That's always nearly always a
and the thing that really annoys me.
And we go, okay, then, here's legal aid. Here's a hotel. Here's 40 quid a week.
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
But the thing that really annoys me is when the lefties all say, oh, but the thing is, you can tell that they're genuine because whenever they do apply for for asylum, they usually get it. 75% get it. Yeah, because they qualify on the basis that they fucking told a pack of lies to qualify.
Yeah, and also
that doesn't mean they deserve it.
Also, our criteria are all wrong. We need to lower the fucking bar.
Right.
The bar for acceptance of these people right now is ludicrously high.
Yeah.
So you're
and they all know how to play the system.
Yeah, it's something like 70% of asylum seekers get asylum. Well, we need to turn that into about 5%.
Right.
Like Germany. Mm. Like France.
Well, isn't it funny that the Albanians apparently have all dried up? They're not coming anymore because we started sending them back.
Yeah.
And so there's a funny thing. Right. So when you find out actually that you're not going to be able to live here fucking rent free and do whatever the fuck you like and get a job. Did you see that other great story the other day? Half of the, I think it was 45 people they arrested who were on like Deliveroo and Uber Eats and all this delivering food all around fucking Brighton.
Yeah.
They're all illegal, right? They're all migrants who have come illegally to the country. And you know that that's what's happening. I mean, I don't order food much from those guys, but occasionally I do. And they never fucking know where they're going.
I've never got Deliveroo once in my fucking life. I don't know.
I've never used Deliveroo. I've used Uber Eats because I've sometimes ordered a curry or something like that. Okay. But famously, I live right next to the river. I got a call from this guy again. He said, I can't find your house. I said, well, you've got the address. Yeah, I can't find it. I said, where are you now? I'm standing by the lake, he goes. I'm like, that's the fucking river. It's not a lake. It's the River Thames. You know, you fuckwits. No wonder you can't find my fucking house, you fucking moron. You know. And then he told me it was his first day on the job. And I'm going, it should be your fucking last.
First day in Britain, more like. Yeah. Just came over yesterday by dinghy.
But I've got a bike and I've got a fucking backpack and I'm just delivering food. I mean, I understand that these are people who want to come to Britain and have a better life. But, you know, that doesn't mean we have to just go, oh, okay then.
This is what fucking Sunak has got to do, for that matter, Braverman. All this Tory government we're supposed to have.
Be good if they did something. You
know, so every time they come up with asylum seeker measures, about 40 Tory MPs oppose it. No, we've got to be nicer.
Yeah.
So they're not even Tories. They're just pretending to be conservatives. But this entire fucking question, what Sunak has got to do is this, to say, right, like Maggie Thatcher used to do, I'm a conservative. Yeah. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop the fucking boats. I'm going to send them back whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell civil servants if they don't get back into the office, I'm going to fire their fucking asses.
Yeah.
I'm going to sort the bloody NHS out. And if these fucking frontline medical workers go on strike again, I'm going to fire their asses. Mm. I'm going to ban them from doing it. And so on and so forth. Mm. And if you don't like it, don't fucking vote for me.
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? But instead, Sunak and the gang, they spend their entire life being terrified of people who will always hate them and will always oppose them. It's ridiculous.
And this idea that we must try and look as if we're nice, friendly people, because otherwise we'll be called the nasty
Labour light. Why not?
Well, I mean, I think we said this last time we did a show. You've got Labour who are pretending to be conservative, and the fucking Conservatives who are pretending not to be conservative.
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck is that choice?
Labour are now, they're going, law and order.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is...
Yeah, this bloke, Starmer, he's a real tough nut.
Yeah, yeah.
he's going to be hard on these
tough
criminals.
On pedos,
you know, because of course, fucking, you know, Rishi Sunak doesn't want to lock up any pedos.
Tough on pedos, tough, I mean, on the cause
those
of
ridiculous
pedos.
Those ridiculous fucking adverts they put out, which would basically they were libelous because they were wrong.
But they're going to rebound on him.
They already have.
But I mean, you know, that's what it's politics, right? Mm. Stand up for something. Stand up for what you believe, and just say it and tell the people. If you don't fucking like that, don't fucking vote for me.
Well,
what's the worst that can happen?
Well,
you're going to lose the fucking election anyway.
But the trouble with Starmer doing that is he doesn't even know what he believes, and he doesn't know what he's supposed to believe when he goes to the election.
But the Tories have got a problem with this.
Yeah.
They're terrified to say what they stand for, like Margaret Thatcher used to. Stand up and say it, and if you want to vote Labour, fucking do it. But if they did all what I'm saying, if they said we're going to stop the boats, fuck them, we're going to, you know, send people, fucking everybody to jail, we're going to fucking law and order's coming back, civil servants are going back to fucking work, we're going to fucking...
Oh no, they want a 4-day week
bollocks to them. Cunts. Bollocks to them. If you're doing a 5-day week and you're going to do it in the fucking office, or we're going to fire your fucking asses.
Right.
You know, if Sunak said all that, he'd win the election.
He would. It's not. He hasn't lost it yet either, because he can still do all that.
Yeah, but his problem is he's terrified of his own shadow.
Right.
He's terrified.
Yeah, but they all are. Because
I'm a conservative. Well, act like one then.
What happened to Dominic Raab? Well, I don't think Dominic Raab is one of the brightest tools in the box, to be honest. Even
though he's a
disgrace. Another fucking lawyer.
Soon actually has stood up for him.
I know, but the point is that he knew that if he stayed in that job, the Westminster bubble would have got him. You know, the lefties in Westminster would have got him. The civil service union would have fucking got him. He'd have been literally painted as the worst individual since fucking Jack the Ripper. And that's how ludicrous it was.
Yeah.
I mean, my favourite sort of, if you want, quote of the week or the weekend was that new book that's out. It's in the Sunday Times about Boris.
Anthony Sneddon.
Yeah, Anthony Sneddon, yeah. And the Boris look where he goes that when Matt Hancock was at Secretary of State of Health, he thought he was a blithering idiot.
Yeah.
Well, why did he fucking get rid of him then?
Yeah.
Why has he fucking kept a blithering idiot in one of the most important jobs in the fucking government during COVID? Fuck's sake.
One thing that made me laugh about it is we should get Boris in as a special guest on the Thought Police.
We should.
He'd fit in well. Did you see that? His favourite word was cunt. So anything, cunt. Well, they've done this. Cunt.
It's a very good word. Yeah.
She's a total cunt.
Some people don't like that word, but you know, we do. Anyway, we've reached pretty much the end of the half hour.
We'll
be back, of course, next week. Is there anything we missed? Anything we forget to mention?
No, but I think
we didn't mention the fucking Extinction Rebellion twats. But they actually proved themselves to be less than useless, didn't they, at the weekend? They didn't do anything.
Yeah, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad you brought this up before we go, so we get a few words in about it. I think there was something in Piccadilly Circus at the weekend. They brought it to a fucking standstill. Still, how many of them? Seven.
Fuck,
you know why they brought it to a standstill?
Well, were they lying down?
Because a huge police escort... protecting their human rights.
Fuck,
protecting their right to demonstrate.
Dogs.
The fucking police are still protecting these people.
Do you remember when
fucking arrest them?
A bit of footage that came out of, again over the weekend, I think, of a van driver comes right up to a load of Just Stop All protesters. He takes the fucking banner off them, takes the banner off somebody else, is about to go and chuck it somewhere. Police come over, take the banner back off him, give it back to the fucking protesters. He's the one that's now in trouble.
Yeah, the police. The police do, that they protect these fucking white middle class idiots.
Yeah.
They're all from Tunbridge Wells.
Yeah.
They're all white.
Oh, you should have seen the trains going up from Sussex on Saturday.
I haven't seen a person of colour in any of these demonstrations yet, and they're all called Tabitha and Antarctica and Pandora
Etienne.
Fucking middle class assholes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fuck them sideways, and the fucking police. Fucking police should start arresting them.
They really
and start
should.
Looking after law-abiding citizens and bollocks to Just Stop Snooker.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck them. That's a pretty good way to end.
There you go.
This is brought to you, of course, by our good friend Dave Johnson.
Dave Johnson
at suitablechoices.co.uk, based in Margate. That's good for all your mortgage needs. They'll be able to sort you out if you can manage to get enough money together to buy a house. They will be the people to go to. Suitablechoices.co.uk. Thank you very much indeed. We'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Bye.